JW Mobile.
Q40JC.
How's it going?
Stay out this morning.
I may be going behind the shadow of Paris Mountain. I'd like to see how good this radio is. It's the first time I've gone through here with this radio. So it might get kind of scratchy, but I would like to know how well it does.
And the audio sounds great on it.
I'm going up to the top of the hill, and when I start going down to the bottom of this hill, that's when I get behind Paris Mountain. So if it still works, great. Ordered me two new stepper drivers to get my satellite tracker, antenna tracker, back up and running again. They should be here today.
I'm interested to see how that works out. Actually it's a ham club in New Zealand, Australia, somewhere that builds up a whole deal for, so you can put an air antenna on one. I think it's about $400. It includes the controller, the tracking software for the radio and for the antenna. But it's one of those things you can build yourself. I think it's beyond my capability, Dave.
I may be scratching now because I'm coming down the other side. So if it scratches something in there, but I may have seen what you're talking about, which drove me to build my own. Well, I was supposed to buy the parts and learn something from the assembly of the design and assembly and tuning.
Scratchy then. Not too bad. You were a little illegible, but it was scratchy going in that time.
It won't last too long. Paris Mountain isn't that wide. When you get in the shadow, it is hard to get around. So, anyway, these drivers can handle 6 amps. The drivers I had on there can handle 0.7 amps, and the stepper motors that I have on there can draw 5 amps. They're pretty heavy-duty stepper motors. So I should have known better than to put a 0.7 amp stepper driver on a 5 amp stepper. But it ran for 6 months, 24x7x365. Ran 7 months and finally smoked one of the drivers.
Pretty solid now. Just a little bit of... I'm saying almost like picket fencing or something like that, but that's about it now. Sounds good. That 7/10 of an amp's not a lot to be twisting around like that thing was doing.
I said go overhead. The ones that that go straight up over top of your head, it would go up. It would raise the elevation, and the azimuth would just be sitting still because it's coming right over you. And then as soon as it crossed over, it would whip that thing around 180 degrees, and then the azimuth would start coming back down. And I think that's what eventually having to do that on the horizontal so fast, 180. It did have a ramp up and a ramp down on each end, but I tweaked that ramp up and ramp down to make it very fast. And, anyway... I didn't expect those to last forever anyway, so hopefully I didn't do any damage to the stepper. I don't think I did. But we'll get the new drivers in sometime. Amazon's going to be delivering them today and see how much pain I caused myself. Might even have to get new stepper motors, but they're very expensive.
Two antennas set up, Dave, or just, was it a pair of antennas or just one?
Solid 1-inch bar. 1-inch in diameter horizontal bar that went up to the top rotor. Each rotor was, or each axis was independent, completely and totally independent of the other. They had their own computers, their own stepper motors, their own stepper drivers. And the vertical axis was sitting on top of the horizontal axis. No, the other way around. Horizontal axis is sitting on top of the vertical axis. So the vertical axis did azimuth, and the... horizontal axis did elevation, and it was a long bar, and it was you could put multiple antennas. You could put 2 meters, 70 centimeters, 1.2 gigahertz, even 900 megahertz if you wanted to, along that bar, that horizontal bar. You could put as many antennas on there as you wanted to. Plus, you could put the radios right there with it if you wanted to, so you could spin 360 degrees nonstop.
That you originally had it, they thought about it, had it set up with two radios up there, the those high when they go, you know, real high up on elevation like some of them do. I just keep mine, of course, I use my manual. I just keep mine the same spot, just twisting around when they start going at it. I've got it wide enough. Most of these handheld-type beams are, they're wide enough where you don't have to be, they're not critical to have it, dead on it, like some of the big antennas, longer antennas are. And it's kind of a mixed blessing that works good for the low Earth orbit types, but when you get up into the RS-44s and some of the ones that have these high altitudes, you need a little bit more antenna. It has to be a little bit more precise, I think, in order to be successful on it.
Exactly, is what drove me to build that satellite tracker, was I didn't know how wide it was, right? I figured you got to be within, a couple of degrees in order to hit it, when in reality you can probably be within 5 or 10 degrees and still communicate with it. I mean, but you have to be, because those guys that have two radios strapped to their chests and, they're holding an antenna that has both 70 centimeters and 2 meters on it, and they're rotating it, depending on whether they're receiving or transmitting, plus tracking the satellite. All that going on, they got to have a little room for tolerance there.
Makes a difference, see, which satellites, the ones that are tumbling, do that. They'll tumble and you'll be okay for 2 seconds, and then the next time, when it tumbles again, I don't remember the rate of tumble on some of them, but the ones that tumble, they'll be okay for maybe 30 seconds, the next time they have to twist it around. So sometimes I think it's better just to keep it, I generally keep my 2 meter, 2 meter portion, 2 meter part of the antenna on my cross. Mine's got a cross. It's got a 436 and 140 and 145. And I usually keep my 2 meter part of it just vertical and let the keep the 440 or 436 part horizontal. Sometimes I move it up about 45 degrees and leave it there, but. It works real good for the ISS because, it's not, the antenna for that thing is at the back of the spacecraft as it goes past. It's not tumbling, so it stays pretty constant, and plus, it's, even now, it's, even with a 440 downlink, it changes, you have to go up about 10, and, you start out about 10 above, start at about 18 and start going at about, about one every, it takes a couple of minutes. It doesn't, the diver on the downlink, even though it's 440, is just not terribly bad unless you're going like one of these high 74 degree passes or 90 degrees where it goes up so high, then that's when the diver shift changes more rapidly.
Anybody, or have you tried circular polarization? We use a lot of that in FPV, first-person view, circularly polarized antennas, left-hand or right-hand circular polarization. For the tumbling of satellites, I wonder if that would help with that at all. Because it's got both horizontal and vertical polarization at the same time.
I would say they're not popular, but you see them, you just don't see quite as much of them, because the guys that are seriously into it, Dave, have the, use that M2, LEO SatPak group, M2 antenna group that builds those things. They have, those antennas, the 70 centimeter has, it's got switching, so you can switch it vertically or horizontally, and also the same thing with the 2 meter version of the antenna across, I think it's about a 6 foot boom, and they do that. I don't recall now if that software, the software controller does that switching automatically or not, I don't recall. But you can switch them. But the circular ones, I've seen them, and you see them more often on some of the higher bands, like 1296, you see a lot of circular there because that signal is a little harder to acquire. I've seen multiple people use the circular for that, because some of the satellites do use 1296. But I've seen it. I don't see it much on 2 meters, but I see it mostly on 70 and above, I think.
to 70. I didn't see one on 2, but I did see an M2 on 70 centimeters that was circular polarized, and it had the long, that long boom you're talking about. $569 for the 70 centimeter antenna. I just can't do. I'd have to build that before I bought it.
And for VanSat, you know, they sell the Leo Sat Pack. I think it's about $600, but it includes the cross boom and both antennas. But they, again, they are not. I don't think it includes all the connections and cabling with it. But they are. You know, they have cross. You know, they got the thing where you can change it from horizontal to vertical. You know, to a vertical polarization. And most of the guys just go with that because it's an established antenna and it works great for most people, but gosh, by the time you get the controller and the antennas and all the other associated stuff with it, and those things really need to be. I saw a guy had one mounted on the ground, basically, with just, he used a old swing set as a mount for it, and he just mounted them fixed at about 25 degrees, and he's no far from a swing set, and used a rotor and did it that way. But yeah, if you're gonna go in that way, you might as well go the whole distance, and then you're talking about $1,500 minus a, and a lot of guys put them up on a 30-foot tower on top of that so they can get high enough above the horizon to get a good view too. It just didn't make sense to me at my location, but I know guys that have them out in the Midwest out there where they go all the way down. You can start picking them up below the cross before they cross above zero and out there.
To me, about that, that's $1,500. You can buy a brand new TS-2000, which has a whole lot more technology in it, for $1,200. A whole lot more technology than those antennas. I guess it's a supply and demand thing. I guess the demand for the TS-2000 is a whole lot more than the demand for those antennas, so they have to get more out of each individual one. But I just have a hard time with. I'd a whole lot rather build my own and learn from the building experience, design and build, than to dump $1,500 on an on an antenna.
The corner doesn't go easy. Down there. Yeah, Dave, I can put mine on a tripod, just move it along the tripod better than I can fit $1,500 on antennas. It's not perfect, but it works pretty good. And, those guys, I mean, the expense, I mean, you can build your own antennas, as you said. It doesn't take much power. They don't like you run more than about 10 or 15 watts in most of these satellites anyway, because they just, some of them overload and they'll shut down. But you can tell a lot of guys are running egg beaters and verticals and stuff like that, running 100 watts, because they sound like a local FM repeater that's so loud. But it doesn't take a lot of power. 10 watts, five is, you gotta be pretty close to it you gotta have a good pass to get in on 5 most of the time because there's so much QRM on it, but 10 will get you pretty solid most any time. That Jesu, I think it's 500, the rotor combo, and by the time you get the controls, that's about $600. So you're already talking about $1,200 basically the factory built antennas and the rotor. And then you gotta get the software, but that's just a lot of it. I mean, you gotta be really serious about it to do that. And I know guys that are. They work on, I know one guy. He was up in Rock Hill. He's got his DXCC, and he had his original on EME as well.
Chandler, and yeah, if you're doing something like that, then maybe I can see it. But I don't. I've already turned one hobby into a business, and I hated it when I did that because I love that hobby. I'm not going to do that again. Anyway, Jerry, I'm at home. It's good talking to you. I'll let you know how that goes if I get those stepper motors to work and I didn't burn anything else up. Anyway, Chandler, good to hear from you. Nice talking to you this morning. I'm going to go in the house. I've been gone all morning long. I'm going to go in the house and get something to eat and plan my next trip, W4DJW. Chandler to take it.
All right, well, Dave, it's good hearing you too. And just so you know, I'm 90% of that, N4DJC.
N4DJC, can you give me a signal report?
Sound great now. Earlier, that, I don't know if somebody doubled with you or what, but it was, I heard about 5% of what you said.
This station trying to change the next station again.
Talk to you a little bit later. I got to run downstairs and get ready to get something to eat myself. Talk to you a little bit later, N4DJC, please.
Alright, Senators. We're 30WZ on the side.
DWZ, N0TR.
Good evening. Good afternoon. How you doing?
No, this is Tom Chandler. And just so, and I'm not a band cop, I don't watch it, but there are some out there. And music is absolutely forbidden on the repeaters. And I heard you earlier. So, don't play music and don't sing music on the repeaters when I'm getting at.
Okay. I apologize. Thank you.
Oh, it ain't no problem. You can do what you want. I just was trying to be nice because I know Chris, and he's the best. Well, given the fact that he's a Marine and I was in the Navy. Hi.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, we're not going to be here long, just running from Aldi's down to Legals, and I heard that earlier, and you'll get somebody that throws a gripe at you about that, and they're correct, and we all like to stay within the parameters of the rules, of course, and I'm sure you would, too.
Certainly I would. Thank you.
Dad is a good friend, and I haven't heard him this morning either. And do you live up there around Chris, or are you related to him?
Definitely, and I don't think I'm related to him.
Understand that, Chandler. You live in where? Oh, okay. You're over there by Gary. All right, Chandler. Well, do you have a delivery route or something of a morning? I've heard you on there before.
No, sir. I helped out riding the school bus, helped out with the kids and stuff, so I got to be here early in the morning. That's why I'm here.
Oh, well, thank you for your service. That's a nice thing to do. Okay, Chandler. Well, you have a good day, and I'll catch you down the line. And 73s were not far from Lidl's here to go get some mass consumables or groceries, if you will. See you later. KO4WWZ and 0TR is now clear.
Tom, KO4WWZ, clear and missing.